Welcome to a reading of Lesson 5, The Life of Christ, in virtualbibleacademy.org's Disciple Making 1, Abiding in His Word. It's from the study book, pages 62 through 80. I'm John Morrison. As much as possible, I'll simply be reading the content of this lesson. However, some pages, reference pages, charts, diagrams, and maps will require some creativity on my part. So follow along in the study book if you'd like to, or just listen. Either way is fine. Page 62, Lesson 5, The Life of Christ. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The life of Jesus did not begin at his human birth in Bethlehem. Jesus existed from eternity past. He had no beginning. God the Father did not give birth to Jesus. His being the Son of God is not progenitive, it is positional. There was no time when Jesus did not exist. He was the Creator in Genesis 1 and 2. And in Old Testament history, he appeared as the angel of the Lord. He delivered and defended Israel. He was humanly born in Bethlehem, lived in Egypt a short time as a young child, and then moved to Nazareth in Galilee. He lived there with his family, making annual trips with them to Jerusalem for the Passover. At about age 30, Jesus began his ministry, and it was into four geographic areas. John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River. Then the Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. In the first months, Jesus ministered in Judea and Galilee. There he met his first disciples, performed his first miracle, and cleansed the temple for the first time. Jesus' popularity increased during his Galilean ministry, but opposition and hostility also increased. Jesus taught, performed miracles, and healed, and he chose and began to minister with his disciples. And his ministry expanded then into the regions north and east of Galilee, and that's where he was transfigured on Mount Hermon. In the last months, Jesus' ministry centered in Judea and Perea. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem marked the beginning of the week of the cross and declared that Jesus was King of the Jews. Monday and Tuesday were public days. Jesus cleansed the temple, cursed the barren fig tree, denounced the scribes and Pharisees, and prophesied about his return. Later that week, he spent a day alone with his disciples. He washed their feet before the Last Supper, taught them, and prayed for them. And Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was arrested there. And after three Jewish and three Roman trials, Jesus was condemned to be crucified. They nailed him to a cross. He died. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose from the dead on the third day. And for 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared 10 or more times to the women, to his disciples, and to his followers. And Jesus ascended into heaven, where he ministers for us now as we wait for his return. Page 63 is a list of 22 of over 300 Old Testament prophecies about the life and death of Jesus. Jesus said, "All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Compare the following predictions, it says here on the page, and their fulfillments. So there's a list of the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament record of their fulfillments. Here are the 22. Jesus would be born of a virgin. He'd be of the seed of Abraham, of Isaac, of Judah, of Jesse, and of the house of David. He'd be born in Bethlehem and called Emmanuel. He'd be preceded by a messenger. He'd perform miracles and teach in parables. the triumphal entry was prophesied, as was his being betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. He'd be forsaken by his disciples and silent before his accusers. He'd be crucified, numbered with the transgressors. Even how his garments would be divided was predicted, and no bones would be broken, and he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. Page 64 is about the four Gospels' four historical records. The four Gospels give us four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. Each author, moved by the Spirit of God, gave a partial record and picture of the life of Jesus, giving us different insights based on the author's different backgrounds, personalities, original audience, and emphasis. The Synoptic Gospels, meaning the similar accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, cover many of the same events. John wrote more information that is only in his own account. 90% is unique. John stressed Christ's deity more than the others, and in his gospel he mentioned believing in Jesus a total of 98 times. And Luke is the one gospel that states that it is written in chronological order. Luke 1, verse 3. The four Gospels give us almost half of the New Testament, and within the Gospels themselves, one-third of the text is devoted to the 7 weeks from the triumphal entry through the ascension. Four men, the former tax collector Matthew, the young man Mark, the Gentile physician Luke, and the fisherman John, gave us God's record of the earthly life and death of Jesus. Page 65 is an overview of Jesus from eternity past to Bethlehem, and there are Bible references there for each of the points. I'm just going to give you an overview so you'll get the picture of it. You can see the references in the written material. Jesus always existed. He existed from eternity past. Jesus existed before all created things. He was the creator in Genesis 1 and 2. In the pre-incarnate, before he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus appeared as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, to Hagar, to Moses, to Gideon, and to Samson's parents. And there were other Old Testament appearances, to Abraham and to Jacob. No one has seen the Father. That's John 1:18, John 6:46, and John 14:9. So every appearance of God in the Old Testament was actually an appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the warrior, defender, and deliverer of Israel. We see that in Joshua, Kings, Chronicles, and Psalms. The Trinity is clearly presented in the Old Testament, Isaiah 48, 12-17, written about 700 BC. And Jesus became the visible image of the invisible God. He became flesh in Bethlehem and lived among us. Page 66, the birth and childhood of Jesus. His birth. Jesus was born in the small town of Bethlehem, about 5 miles, 8 kilometers, south of Jerusalem, between 6 BC and 4 BC. The Gregorian calendar, with BC indicating before Christ, was apparently begun with an inaccurate date for Christ's birth. His parents. Mary's genealogy is traced in Luke back to Nathan and Nathan's father, King David, then back to Judah, Shem, Noah, Seth, Adam, and all the way to God. Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, not of Joseph, and she remained a virgin until the birth of Jesus. Joseph the carpenter, although not the physical father of Jesus, was his legal earthly stepfather. And Joseph's genealogy is traced in Matthew back to Solomon, and Solomon's father, King David, to Judah, and to Abraham. Born in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary traveled south about 70 miles, 110 kilometers, to Bethlehem from Nazareth in Galilee, and they went there to be counted in a census. While there, Jesus was born. His first bed was a feeding trough, a manger. His birth was announced by angels to the shepherds, and at his dedication at the temple in Jerusalem, at least 40 days after his birth, Simeon and Anna recognized the infant Jesus as God's Messiah. The Magi and Herod. After Jesus was born, an undisclosed number of magi from the east followed a star to Jerusalem to find the one born King of the Jews. They found him and Mary in a house in Bethlehem and worshipped him. Herod attempted to destroy Jesus by killing all male children up to 2 years old in and around Bethlehem. And then to Egypt. An angel warned Joseph to take his family and flee to Egypt, and they stayed there until an angel told them it was safe to return. And then in Galilee, the family returned to live in Nazareth, and Jesus grew up there making annual trips at the Passover to Jerusalem, about 65 miles, 110 kilometers south. At 12 years of age, Jesus astonished the temple teachers with his understanding and answers. And at that time, Jesus referred to the temple as my Father's house. And Jesus lived with his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, that's more than one sister, in Nazareth. And at about 30 years of age, Jesus began his public ministry, announced by his relative, John the Baptist. Page 67, the public ministry of Jesus. In Galilee and Judea, the beginnings. John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River near Bethany. Then the Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert of Judea, to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Afterwards, Jesus met his first disciples, Andrew, Simon, Philip, and Nathanael. He performed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana, turning water into wine. And Jesus cleansed the temple for the first time, driving the merchants out of his Father's house. And Jesus proclaimed, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And a ruler of the Jews, the Pharisee Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night in Jerusalem. And Jesus told him, you must be born again, John 3:7. On his way back to Galilee, Jesus traveled through Samaria, where he met the woman at Jacob's well near Sychar, and she believed in him and brought many to meet him. And then in Galilee, where his popularity and hostility increased, Jesus traveled to Galilee, where he was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, and he moved on to Capernaum. After a miraculous catch of fish on the Sea of Galilee, he called the fishermen, Andrew, Simon, James, and John, to be fishers of men. He also called Levi, the tax collector, to follow him. Jesus returned to Jerusalem, where he healed on the Sabbath, an offense to the Jewish leaders. After a night of prayer, Jesus chose the 12, his final choosing. He amazed the multitude with his authoritative teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he taught in parables and healed. He sent out the 12 disciples by twos to minister to the lost sheep of Israel, to preach and to heal. And Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. Then he taught that he was the bread of life, driving many followers away. Then to the north and east of Galilee. Jesus traveled north toward Tyre and Sidon and Phoenicia, where he continued to teach and heal. And he traveled east through Decapolis and Bashan. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on Mount Hermon, the probable location, where he shone like light at the Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with him. In addition, God declared, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Now, apparently, this was the first time Moses set foot in the Promised Land. In Judea and Perea, the final months, his teaching, healing, and miracles continued. And he claimed to be the light of the world and equal to God. Therefore, the Jews tried to stone him. And after explaining the cost of discipleship, Jesus sent out 70 followers in pairs to minister. And Jesus delayed his visit to Bethany, where he would 4 days later raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. The chief priests and the Pharisees became determined to kill him. Jesus traveled to Jerusalem by way of Samaria and Galilee, and he continued to teach and to heal. He told his disciples of his death and of his resurrection. Finally, he went to the home of Lazarus in Bethany, to begin his last week before his crucifixion and resurrection. Page 68 is a map of the land in the time of Jesus, and many of the places that are in this lesson are shown there. Page 69, the week of the cross, Sunday, the triumphal entry. Jesus traveled from the home of Lazarus in Bethany to Jerusalem. On the way, Jesus stopped at the Mount of Olives on the east side of Jerusalem, and he sent his disciples to bring a donkey and colt to him, and Jesus rode the colt into Jerusalem, thereby proclaiming to be King of Israel, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. The people spread their garments and branches. The people spread their garments and branches on the road before him and worshiped God. In Jerusalem, Jesus saw the condition of the temple, again filled with merchants, and he returned to Bethany. On Monday, there was another temple cleansing. On the way back on Monday into Jerusalem, Jesus cursed a barren fig tree which withered by the following day, and he proceeded to cleanse the temple a second time by driving out the buyers, sellers, and money changers. The temple cleansing, this one, was near the end of his public ministry. His first temple cleansing was near the beginning of his public ministry. Tuesday was a public day. The Jewish leaders questioned Jesus about his authority and tried to discredit him with trick questions on taxes, marriage, and the commandments. Jesus taught the parable of the wicked husbandman who killed the son of the owner of the vineyard. Jesus strongly denounced the scribes and the Pharisees. He prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem and about his return. And it was also on this day that Judas made his deal to betray Jesus. The day before the cross was a private day, and Jesus spent this day with his disciples away from the crowds. There is a question whether this was actually Wednesday or Thursday. They gathered in an upper room for the Passover meal. He washed the disciples' feet, and during the meal, Judas left to betray Jesus. In the upper room discourse, John 13 through 16, Jesus taught the disciples about his leaving and about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus and his disciples walked to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed until his sweat was like blood. His disciples, understanding that he would die soon, slept because of grief. That's Luke 22, 45. Page 70, the week of the cross, continued. The night before the cross, there were his six trials. After midnight, Judas brought the Jewish leaders and soldiers to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They came with swords and clubs to arrest the Prince of Peace. And they bound Jesus and took him to the Jewish leaders for trial. Actually, he had six trials. His trial before Annas, A-N-N-A-S, trial one was illegal, being without witnesses. And during that trial, an officer struck him. He was taken to the high priest Caiaphas for another trial, trial two. This one included false witnesses. And the Jewish leaders asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus answered, "I am." And the high priest tore his robe as a sign of condemning blasphemy. The priests condemned him to be deserving of death. And guards spit in his face, beat him with their fists, and slapped him. During this trial, Peter denied Jesus three times. Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Jewish leaders brought him to the Sanhedrin for another trial when they convened at sunup. This was trial three. And they asked, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus answered, "Yes, I am." They convicted him and transferred him to the Romans for execution. Trial four, he was tried before Pilate. Trial five, he was taken to Herod for trial. And then trial six, he was brought back to Pilate. The crowd rejected his release. Pilate sentenced him to death, and Jesus was beaten, mocked, spit on, severely whipped, and crowned with thorns. And Jesus by that time was too weak to carry his cross all the way to Golgotha to be crucified. Simon of Cyrene helped carry it for him. Now note that Golgotha, the place of the skull, was not some beautiful hillside location. It was an execution site along the road to the dump. The day of the cross, his supreme sacrifice. Near 9 a.m., they nailed Jesus to the cross between two thieves, and above his head a sign proclaimed, King of the Jews. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Many people mocked him, including the Jewish leaders, passers-by, soldiers, and even one of the two thieves. But the other thief believed, and Jesus said to him, Today you shall be with me in paradise. Guards divided his clothing and cast lots for his tunic, and at noon the sky became dark. And then about 3 p.m. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. And Jesus bowed his head, and he died. An earthquake rumbled through Jerusalem. The veil of the temple was torn in two. And the centurion guard at the foot of the cross began praising God and proclaimed, This man was innocent. This man was the Son of God. After Jesus died, a guard speared his side to be sure that he was dead. He was dead. Therefore, there was no reason to break his legs. The perfect, sinless God-man had paid for the sins of the world. Jesus was taken down from the cross to be buried in a borrowed tomb. And the tomb was sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers because Jesus had prophesied that he would rise from the dead in 3 days. Page 71, From His Resurrection to His Return. An earthquake occurred in Jerusalem, and an angel rolled the stone away from the tomb of Jesus. Jesus had conquered death. He was resurrected, spiritually and physically alive again. And the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and others, came to the tomb with spices to anoint his body. But they found the tomb open and empty. Two angels appeared to them and told them, He is not here, but he has risen. Mary Magdalene and the others returned to tell Peter and John, who then went to the tomb. And there were appearances over 40 days. It was 40 days of proof. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and to Mary, the mother of James, Salome and Joanna, at the tomb, to Peter at the tomb, to two men on the road to Emmaus outside of Jerusalem, to 10 apostles in the upper room on resurrection evening, and to 11 apostles 8 days later, probably in Galilee, and to 7 apostles by the Sea of Galilee, and to 500 at one time for the Great Commission at a mountain in Galilee, and to his half-brother James at some undisclosed location, and to the 11 apostles back in Jerusalem, and then finally at the ascension from the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. Page 72. His two final instructions. First, go make disciples. On a mountain in Galilee, several days before the ascension, Jesus gave the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. They and we were commanded in that to teach others to be followers of Jesus, to make disciples. Non-believers need to become believers. New believers should be baptized, and we should teach them to obey all that Jesus had commanded, including obeying the Great Commission. And the second, be my witnesses. Several days later, after the Great Commission, several days later, Jesus appeared on the Mount of Olives where he told his disciples, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. After that statement, Jesus was lifted up into the sky, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. His present ministry includes being the head of the body, being our high priest, being our advocate praying for us now, preparing a place for us, but at the same time, he is with us. And he has promised to return. The New Testament mentions Christ's return over 300 times in its 260 chapters. That averages about once every 25 verses. Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:3. And then Acts 1:11. This Jesus, that was at the ascension, after Jesus had ascended, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Acts 1:11. There's other references. Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, and the entire book of Revelation. Page 73 is a reference page listing 36 parables with references. That's a great reference book or reference page for you, giving those with where they occur in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are no parables in the book of John. Now, at the bottom of that page, parables are word pictures in story form illustrating spiritual truth with common illustrations. The Old Testament predicted Jesus would teach in parables, and he taught in parables to give understanding to believers and to keep understanding from non-believers. Parables illustrate truth, but do not generate truth. They usually illustrate one truth, not many, so keep interpretation simple and focused on the primary intent and context of that parable. Page 74 is a list of the miracles of Jesus. There's 36 listed there in probable order with references from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, at the bottom of that page, miracles are supernatural acts that are naturally unexplainable. They demonstrate the person, power, and purpose of God. Jesus' miracles bore witness of who he was, and his miracles caused people to believe in him. To understand miracles, it is necessary to look at several issues. Who was there? What happened? Why was it done? What prerequisites, if any, were there? And what effects were there? And what of God was demonstrated? Page 75, describes the 12 disciples of Jesus. The disciples had two different calls. They were chosen by him. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." And they were called in two separate callings, John 1 and then Matthew 4 and Mark 1. There are actually four lists in the Bible. They're listed in four places: Matthew 10, 2 to 4, Mark 3, 16 and 19, 16 through 19, Luke 6, 14 through 16, and Acts 1, 13. In those lists, interestingly, there seems to be three subsets of four disciples, with Peter, Philip, and James the Less occupying the first place in each group in each list. Peter, and with him John, James, and Andrew, then Philip, Thomas, Nathanael, also called Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James the Less, not the author of James, James the Less, and with him Simon the Zealot, Judas, also known as Thaddeus, and Judas Iscariot, who is always listed last in these lists. And clearly, he was unsaved, John 6, verse 70, and John 17, verse 12. And later, listed there as well, is Matthias, Judas Iscariot's replacement, chosen as documented in Acts 1, 15 to 26. The disciples' deaths. John was the one disciple who lived to an old age. It is commonly believed that John died in Ephesus after his exile on Patmos. It is believed that all the other disciples were martyred before John's death. And then there's the Apostle Paul. Saul, that's his Hebrew name, was also called by his Greek name, Paul. Saul was not renamed by Jesus or by anyone else. In the New Testament, he was called by both names. Paul was chosen by Jesus to be an apostle, but he was never referred to as one of the disciples. Page 76 is the flowchart of the life of Christ. From eternity past, to creation, to his Old Testament appearances, his birth in Bethlehem, on to Egypt and then back to Nazareth, his baptism and temptations, and then in Judea and Galilee, then in Galilee, then north and east of Galilee, then finally in Judea and Perea. Then the final week, and the cross and the resurrection, his appearances, the ascension, his present ministry, and his promised return, and then on into eternity future. Page 77 and 78 are the review questions that are given to help a student see how they've learned, to review, to relearn what's necessary, and it's a process by which the information is, in a sense, implanted in long-term memory. But let's go to page 79 for those same questions with the answers. Page 79. And there are a number of multiple choice answers for questions 1 through 10. I'll just go through those first 10, giving you the answers. The life of Jesus Christ can be traced back to eternity past. The first recorded act of Jesus was creation. Jesus appeared several times in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. And after his birth in Bethlehem, Jesus lived a short time in the land of Egypt. And immediately after his baptism by John, Jesus went to the Judean desert. The early months of his ministry were spent in Judea and Galilee. The middle periods of his ministry were spent north and east of Galilee. His later public ministry was spent in Judea and Perea. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem declared him to be King of the Jews, and Jesus was crucified at Golgotha. And then questions 11 through 20 on page 80, again, have multiple choices to fill in. I'll read those 11 through 20 statements. There are more than 300 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. Jesus began his public ministry at about 30 years old. He was tempted by Satan for 40 days. And Jesus went through at least 6 pre-crucifixion trials. The body of Jesus was in the ground 3 days and nights. After his resurrection, death and resurrection, he appeared at least 10 times. And he appeared to a large group of more than 500 people. And he appeared over a period of 40 days. And the New Testament mentions the return of Christ over 300 times. And his return is in the New Testament about once every 25 verses. And then number 21 is just name at least 6 of the 12 disciples besides Peter and John. Those are James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, Matthew, who was before called Levi, James the Less, Simon the Zealot, Judas Thaddeus, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. And then from Acts 1, Matthias. This concludes the reading of Lesson 5, The Life of Christ.